Today's episode is brought to you by Progressive, where drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. Quote now at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Hi, I'm Ryan LaPlante, and I'm one of the crazy founders of Dumb Dumbs and Dice, the production company that's made the video you're watching or the podcast you're listening to right now. Now, we're clearly busy. We're producing 5 weekly podcasts: Dumb Dumbs and Dragons, Blood and Syrup, The Mythos Mysteries, Warhammer 40,000, The Valentine Heresy, and Curse Code and Crown, as well as 3 event podcasts with miniseries releases scheduled at random intervals: Dumb Scum and Villainy, One Shots, and the bad movie review show, Garbage Town the Movie Podcast. But we want to take this time to invite you to become a part of our company and a part of our Patreon at patreon.com/dumbdumbdice. You can get access to our Discord, access to exclusive DM and character chats. You can get the chance to name characters in our shows. You can even become a recurring NPC and hear yourself interacting with our characters each week through the voice of Tom. You can become a patron for as little as $1, and there's great value for you at even that level. So please join the Dumb Dumbs and Dice family and help us make even more content in a way that you are guaranteed to love. That's patreon.com/dumbdumbdice. DUMBDUMBDICE. So let's do something dumb together, and thanks for being part of our stories.
I am Executron, god of merchandising, and I came into existence because Dumb Dumbs and Dice has its own merchandise. That's a god pun. Get it? Dice? Merchandise? Anyways, you can get t-shirts, hoodies, spiral notebooks, clocks, wall art, throw pillows, bags, and even stickers emblazoned with your favorite Dum Dums and Dice characters and their catchphrases. Go to redbubble.com/people/dumdumdice. That's DUMBDUMBDICE. One more time for the mortals in the back. redbubble.com/people/dumdumdice. Get your merchandise today.
Welcome back, children of the night, to Blood and Syrup, a Vampire the Masquerade live play podcast. I am your host, Count Vlad von Lestat, drinker of blood, keeper of the chronicle, and all around a spooky dude. The Caldry sorted out their plans in the morgue they've been given by Angelo De Santi. Everett was concerned about the reach of the Inquisition and suggested laying low. Ridley laid out a plan to destroy the orphans, but needs to be nursed back to health. And Iris is worried about Iggy, while the others are worried about her demon. Can the Caldry lay low for 2 whole weeks to enact their plans, or will things go wrong yet again? Abandon hope, all ye who listen here.
So unlike most nights on our show, today we're kind of covering a long span of time. If you'll recall, we've got kind of a 2-week recovery spell as the lockdown on Montreal is slowly eased, as investigations into the siege of the city are carried out, but also as our boy Ridley grows his skin back and such, a pretty vital piece of the puzzle here, after being grievously injured with all of the fucking Inquisition and. At all.
Yeah, Ridley's at his best when he's not dying.
I mean, aren't we all? this is going to be structurally a little bit different from what we would normally do, but we're still going to try and treat it similarly, if that makes sense. So it's 2 weeks, but I don't want to go through like, okay, so I've got 14 days, so here's everything I do. We're really just looking for the highlights. And I've already got some down that we're going to do. Iris's, we're going to handle next episode, just because her objectives right now are different than yours, since you've decided that Ridley and Everett are kind of on dealing with the orphan situation, so planning that, scouting it, and kind of tying up a bunch of loose ends on your side, whereas she and Emily are going to try and find some answers about Drac. Obviously, the two things are somewhat connected, but rather than trying to intercut crazily between two investigations, I thought it made more sense to just kind of isolate them. So if you're watching this, you'll notice Miles isn't on here. You'll also notice that she isn't on the audio recording. I just want to make clear that she's actually not at this session so that I won't just seem like a prick who's avoiding talking to one of the characters for the whole show. It's entirely selfish on my part. Great. So you're in the teaching hospital now. You have kind of your little morgue office, and you've got your beds. Harvey and Chonky have been transferred to the hospital as well, and are recovering from their wounds, so they'll be on site with you.
Oh, fuck, Chonky's here. Cool.
Yeah, if you'll recall, Chonky's, unless I'm entirely mistaken, the rest of the Bear Boys fucked off, but Chonky was still with you, or did he go with them?
Chonky and the Bear Boys went to war with the cops, and then were going to disappear.
Right, okay, I'm sorry, I thought Chonky came with you. So no, Chonky isn't here, we'll deal with that in a few minutes.
Sick.
Harvey has been delivered and is resting up in one of the little jail pods. And yeah, essentially over the course of this session, we're just going to kind of deal with some of the big lingering kind of mop up questions post all of that. Now that you're settled and have dealt with the immediate emergencies, and we'll go from there. So, first and foremost, is there anything the two of you would like to kind of sort out immediately? Or what would your top priority be? For me, the things that I would like to see over the course of the session, checking in on kind of touchstones and allies throughout the city to just get a sense of where they are post all of this. You have the remaining vampiric SWAT guy who's missing an arm, who's been delivered from the snack room. We kind of had a collective brain fart last episode and talked about them like they were humans. They were not. Iris was confused because she had demon blood in her and wasn't paying attention. They are vampiric.
Yeah.
You are still waiting to hear from the Bear Boys, so we'll probably deal with that. And you wanted to interrogate the hell out of the SWAT dude.
Vampire guy, yeah. I think the only thing that we haven't sorted but theoretically would need to is we need a pretty steady blood supply for Ridley so that he can heal, because I looked at the rules and it's like you basically just have to be like gorged on blood and do nothing each day to start healing aggravated injuries. And we need to figure out some kind of supply for Everett, because I think Ridley would be fine with essentially using himself as like a filtration system, or we've got SWAT vampire guy we could just pump full of blood and draw it back out of and then just store shit if we have access to like a fridge.
You don't need to pump the vampire guy full of blood. He has, I mean, you'd have to keep him fed, but he is.
That's what I meant.
I see what you mean. Yeah. Because if I re-listened to the episode where we encountered the SWAT dudes, and Iris specifically kept him in the snack room for Everett as a potential, like, Everett might need this. So regardless, it does sound like you need a supply of blood. Now, the good thing is you are in a teaching hospital, so the ability to get some blood is less than zero. Your odds have increased somewhat. Also, given that you have a vampiric patron now, there is possibility there. But also, if you'll recall from your conversations with DeSantos, right? Am I crazy? I'm sorry, the sheet I have.
Yes, in front of
Angelo DeSanti?
DeSanti, thank you. DeSanti is a fairly hands-off kind of patron. He's put you up, but he also is kind of in the midst of a lot of stuff and generally kind of expecting that you'll advance his agenda, but he's also a very busy man who's not going to be like holding your hand and hanging out. Also, I feel like Ridley, given the way you operate, you wouldn't want a weird mid-level boss. No. So you have some potential for like in emergencies, but he can't organize a steady stream. Also, Ridley, you can't subside on packaged blood just because it's, you have no way of telling what the humor is.
Unless it came from a scumbag, I could.
Well, that's it, right? But you will be able to use what you can scrounge to minimally keep the vampire SWAT guy alive. Not well, but alive.
All right, so our first fucking problem is that I need the blood of several scumbags, and I'm going to need them fucking every night, and I can't go out hunting, or I don't get any fucking better. Also, we need to get some blood and put it into this cunt, and he just points at vampire guy in the corner, who I think he probably is just, like, watching intently all day, and he's like, and well, we take it back out of him.
Would you just lock him in one of the autopsy
that seems risky.
Slab beds?
I feel like we'd probably like chain him up and put him in the corner where we might throw him in one with Ridley at night, okay. But daytime he's sitting there just getting watched.
Sure, sure, I understand.
And then we could take the blood out of him and put it into you. Does that make sense?
Yeah, yeah, I can go out and find someone to who deserves, you know, okay, what so you have to do to him.
Kind of some dark news. I think I need about two people a night.
All right, that's one a lot.
I need one at the beginning and another one to fill the tank closer to the end.
I will do my best, Ridley.
All right. Okay. So we'll say the action of the sort of the first major action of like probably the first or second night, probably second night because you spent yesterday kind of planning in the last session. Let's say the first major action is Everett. You have to go on your first like hunt for friends food. So if you could go ahead, please, and roll me either investigation or streetwise, and either wits or resolve, please. That would be great.
It's going to be wits investigation.
Cool.
I've got a hunger rating currently. Are we looking to rouse the blood as we kind of go over several days or nights of activity?
What we'll probably do is we'll do three rouse checks to kind of account for average out over the weeks. I just don't want to have to roll like a million rouse checks. So
shall I do one now before I do this?
Let's do one now to kick things off. Check, that would be great.
All right, so that's a fail. So that's okay. Hunger three.
I will say, though, Tyler, that after Emily delivers the SWAT guy and picks up Iris to go, A, apartment hunting, and B, go sell for Iggy, he's still in good, like, he's a bit rough, but it's really only been, like, a day or two. So you can definitely have a drink off this guy.
Enough tonight to take my hunger level down back to two?
Yeah. So all right. it'll ultimately neutralize it, but nevertheless, again, he's not in great shape. He lost a lot of blood when his arm got ripped off. But sure. Emily was purposefully saving him like you would, you know, a half-finished meal that you know will be equally delicious tomorrow. So given her her level of skill and now particularly that she's got extra gruesome superpowers, she's on side for that. Cool. Right. So go ahead and roll your check there, sir. That's so nice to not have to add a bunch of different wacky dice to this. I feel like we've been playing so much Genesis lately. I'm like, oh, I had a setback. Maybe take a boost. Oh, and I'm sorry, Tyler, before you give me the result on that, Ryan, you can assist on this if you'd like.
Yeah, I feel like Ridley would give advice probably in terms of like where he thinks Everett could set up like a consistent place to find victims. So it's not just like Everett spending every night stalking the streets looking for lone scumbags. What do you want me to roll to assist, Tom?
Definitely streetwise and I think intelligence. Because this is just you remembering where you think these things would be and also having to convey it in a way that Everett could understand and also in a way that he would find ethically okay enough to like absorb, which I honestly think would take Ridley twice as long. Normally be like, just go to the fucking street corner, eat a guy, and
yeah, like, four no. successes on four dice.
Okay, great. So Tyler, you can add plus two to your result.
So two successes.
You have two base successes plus whatever you rolled.
Does any of that matter if I rolled a messy success?
Nope.
No. Okay. One on a hunger die, like a 10 on a hunger die and a 10 on a regular die. So
messy successy. Yay.
One day I'm going to have balloons installed, or like blood. It'll just dump blood on me like I'm fucking going to prom and carry.
It'll dump it on Tyler. Like you'll set it up in the expression. It'll be like,
change.
It'll be Nickelodeon.
Like, yeah. It'll be just like it is now when everyone shouts messy successy and nothing changes here on my face except just blood all yeah, over me.
It'll be like a 1990s like YTV or Nickelodeon game show.
I'm gonna get slimed. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It's gonna be great. It's Patreon money well spent, says I. Okay, shit, man. That is wild. Okay. Okay, yeah, I all right, I got you. So, in total, Tyler, you just had the two successes. Is that correct?
If you're looking for a total of successes, I had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Two of those were crits.
Oh my god! Plus,
and I had another
Ryan,
4,
so 9.
11 total.
I'm gonna stop letting you roll investigation, dude.
I'm
a monster anyway.
This is true. Okay, bud, can you please go ahead and roll...
I mean, it's not entirely shocking Everett would be able to find a criminal organization. I believe that that's well within his wheelhouse.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, I would agree.
But now he ate them. Oops.
Yeah, now it's going to be like, children on a playground, criminal organization. I'm kidnapping these babies.
Yeah. All right. So I need you to roll, please, on the Wheel of Victims. This, as you'll recall, is a out of 50. Of victims! Ba-ba-ba-da!
Wait, the Price is Right?
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like that should be the theme song for everything. Yeah, it's like Plinko, that yodeling one, and then a Wheel of Victims, where Drew Carey's just like, this guy, you can eat.
Womp, 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 womp. Blood.
Yeah. That's very funny. Okay, so, Tyler, what kind of dice do you have there, my dude?
I've got them all. Okay. Got the whole set.
If you could please roll a D100, and then we're going to divide by 2. And with that many successes, I'm going to say, if you could do this 4 times, please.
We're dividing each result by 2?
You can just give me the 100 score. I'll do the division on my
end. Okay. So the first roll is a 15.
Dean?
45. 98. 34, and it was 4 total rolls?
I'm sorry, 5.
5. 65.
Okay, interesting.
Thank you for doing the dividing on that, because that would have taken me a lot longer to get those results to you.
Oh, no worries, dude. No worries. It's much easier to just be on the receiving end and not worrying about anything else. It makes it much faster. Okay, one moment as I just look through the Wheel of Victims to figure out who exactly is getting the shit end of the stick tonight. Oh, interesting. We got some interesting ones today. And one last guy. Oh, yeah. Interesting. Okay, great. So Everett, as you begin your investigations, there is of course that kind of sickening feeling you have that you're doing this. Like this is an objectionable thing to you, of course, to be out hunting for humans, but also over the past few days, and with the siege of the city, like. And not everything that happened at Elysium and Sorka, and all that, you've had your moral framework rattled pretty hard. And I think at this point, there's that sort of niggling concern about the ethics of this, but also you're just so tired and kind of you've been run through the ringer. And regardless of the ethics of what you're doing, your friend will die if you don't do this. And I know you don't have like the closest relationship with Ridley, but at this point there's enough question marks floating around that the three of you desperately need each other because like basically, if you don't want to meet the sun and take your true death, you kind of need Iris and Ridley for the foreseeable. But the good news is you are able to click back into old habits. It's a little bit like losing yourself in your work. You're actually able to embrace investigation again for a while. And with Ridley's recommendation for kind of sketchy places to keep an eye out for, you find a few interesting folks. So, and we'll say that this happens over a couple days. So you're actually investigating over a couple days. Ridley, you've kind of, I think, committed to just having to wait. So it's a hard couple days for you. But we can talk about what you're kind of doing over that. But eventually, Everett, you feel relatively confident that you have found some potential scumbags. So there's a burglar who is making the most of the disaster that has befallen Montreal, and is basically like looting apartments with relative ease, just because people have fled. The entire city is kind of under martial law at this point, but during it's too big for everyone to be like off the streets at night. Plus, the recovery efforts are so big, so there's a lot more police presence, but there's also just a lot of chaos as the city begins to rebuild and sort of sort through the wreckage. So you've got a burglar. There is a firefighter you find who seems to be also taking advantage of the kind of ruined state. Whenever the engine is stopped, you can see that this guy is basically also looting. So after he's done kind of checking the wreckage of a place, if he's found anything of value, he's kind of just stuffing it into his jacket and getting back in the fire truck, which I think rubs you the wrong way in like a particular. Theoretically, firefighting is such a noble profession that just like someone using that position during a time of like disaster relief to line their own pockets is pretty disgusting.
This time it's personal.
This time I will fight the fire fight. There is a store clerk for an independent sort of bodega who has jacked up their prices on like necessities. So water, bandages, Tylenol, all the things you would kind of need in a crisis. And is making a tremendous profit off it. It's a little bit like when the masks and hand sanitizer thing started, where just if you had it, you could charge whatever you wanted and people would pay. You managed to overhear an office worker sort of in the early evening when you're starting to get a little bit more bold, who is talking about having made a bunch of money off of the deaths and injuries of his coworkers by being able to scoop their clients and making a tidy profit by basically just absorbing their business. A little bit like the setup for Billions, if you've watched Billions. And finally, there's just a good old-fashioned drug dealer. You're so happy to see someone who is just doing that and, again, is seemingly inflated prices on things like opiates, and is clearly getting a bunch of people who have suffered during the attack hooked. Now, because you're a little messy successy, to Ryan's point, I'm going to say that the drug dealer angle actually opens up a larger field of investigation for you. He seems to be part of an operation. There are people arriving to like resupply him. Like he's not just a random guy. And we'll deal with what the messy success he actually does later. Which of these characters would you like to take back, attempt to abduct for Ridley?
The store clerk, I think.
Yep. So you arrive, having observed this for a while, you arrive at the bodega to see a mother kind of with like babe in arms crying, saying like, please, without formula, all the other stores have been picked over. You're the only one who has any. Like, please have a heart. I can't possibly pay that. And the clerk, who is just like Think like a Jason Segel type. So just kind of like a generally affable looking guy, wearing like a Habs sweater or something. Shrugs and says, "Look, I'm really sorry, lady, but that's the price. You know, sure, your pharma pre would normally have it, but they all sold out, and a bunch of them got leveled when the billings came down. So it's like I'm your only option, unless you think Amazon's going to deliver to a war zone. Am I right? So." Sorry. In tears, the mother turns and leaves, and this guy goes back inside the store and turns the news up, and you can hear reports of enforcement agencies from around the country coming in. The rare case of allowing the FBI to operate on Canadian soil has been authorized. A bunch of like the usual government platitudes of like, we're working very hard, we will find this. And then the usual kind of like six different terrorist organizations have taken credit for this. None of them can provide any details and have had no follow-up. And CSIS cannot identify that any of them would be involved, but we're looking into it. So he settles back in and just starts eating nuts out of a little satchel.
So I'll come in and I'll first like walk through a little convenience store and see if anyone else is here.
No, there isn't. He's you get the sense that he's protecting it a bit. Like there he's not letting a bunch of people in all at once. It's again similar to COVID, right? Just let a few people in at a time.
Right.
Okay. Actually, hang on. Let me roll a dice and see if there's. Okay. Yep. Yeah, no, it's just you.
Okay. So then I will. I'll go up to him and I'll say,
your medical supplies over here, your gauze, your bandages, it's all so expensive. Are those prices right?
Oh, yeah, those prices are very right. Big guy, it's times are tough here in Montreal and no one's, between you and me, obviously more stuff's going to come back in. And as the pharma prees open up again, get restocked, fine. But till then, a guy like me can make a pretty tidy profit. So, listen, you need some gauze, some bandages. They're all no-name brand, but, you know, they'll do the job.
Well, that's unacceptable. That's awful.
That's capitalism, baby.
I want to speak to your manager.
I own the place, asshole. Why don't you get out of the store?
You're the only one here?
Yeah.
All right, you know what? I will go.
And I walk to the door, and I stop. And I flip the open sign to closed, and I lock the door from the inside because it doesn't need a key from the inside. It's just a little turn latch.
Yep. You get hit in the back by the roar of a shotgun.
The Fable and Folly Network supports creators of exceptional audio stories, including the one you're listening to right now. If you love our shows, we want to hear from you. Complete our listener survey at fableandfolly.com/survey. This will help us learn more about you, what you like, what you'd like to hear more of, and how we can maintain an inclusive, safe atmosphere. As a thank you for your participation, we have extras and behind-the-scenes content from your favorite shows. Fans make the network what it is. Thanks for listening, and we can't wait to hear from you. Find our listener survey at fableandfolly.com/survey today.
Greetings, children of the night. It is I, Count Vlad von Lestat, drinker of blood, keeper of the chronicle, and all-around the spooky dude. I used to host the Blood and Syrup, but now I spend all of my time in the Dum Dums and Dragons Patreon. Yes, for just the cost of $1, you can join the Patreon, get into the Discord, and talk to other fans about everything that's happening in your favorite shows. Alternatively, at higher levels, you can get ad-free feeds. You can add names and locations to the shows, or at the $25 level, you can even create your own NPC of darkness, or light, or whatever various lighting solution you want. You create your character, and they appear in one of our shows, causing all forms of shenanigans, and your name ends up in the credits. It's a pretty sweet deal. In any case, join our Patreon of darkness at patreon.com/dumdumdice. That's DUMBDUMBDICE. Sleep well, children of the night. Spooky.
Dum-Dums and Dice would like to invite you to check out their flagship podcast, Dum-Dums and Dragons. It's a show where improvisers who've never role-played before journey into the world of Dungeons and Dragons. It features Laura Elizabeth as the wizard Alan, Tyler Hewitt as the thief Quinny, and Ryan LaPlante as a cleric named Butthole. Through their first season, these heroes experience the minds of Phandelver, but starting in season two, they step into a world of fully original adventures from the mind of DM Tom McGee. Follow them from the beginning of their quest through five more seasons and beyond. Check it out now. Dum-Dums and Dragons.
You get hit in the back by the roar of a shotgun and are thrown forward into the glass. Your face goes through the window. You're going to take 2 points of superficial damage.
I've run out of superficial, so this is now aggravated then?
Yes, I think that'll translate to 1 point of aggravated.
Okay.
And it's, again, like, I think I kind of like to imagine this as Sideshow Bob stepping on a rake level of pain. Like, you're just, you're still so rough that it's like, it, you can feel the pellets dig into your back and, like, into your core. But it's just kind of that, like, you've had worse over the past few days. And
Tom, quick question from a visual perspective. Does Everett still have the bullet hole in his forehead?
I would.
I would imagine you'd be wearing like a hat low over your...
Yeah. So my follow-up question is, does the shotgun blast take the hat off? Because that's just like a good turnaround vampire reveal.
Yeah, 100%. I think your face goes through the glass, the hat falls off. You turn around with like shards of glass in your face. What do you do?
Oh, I'm standing up. Okay.
Yeah, it's literally like you turn the lock, the force of the blast hit you and you stumbled forward into the glass. And now you're turning around. Or not. It depends. You can also leave.
No, I mean, he shot me in the back. Okay, I'm a full monster now. I'll kill him here and I'll bring his corpse back if he's going to fight like this.
Yeah, sounds good. So describe what you do.
I shoot him in the face.
So in your mind, you spin around. You see his eyes go wide. You reach for your gun. But it's weird because like you have this perfect image of like reaching for your gun, leveling it, and pulling the trigger, and then suddenly you're wet, which seems strange. And as you blink a couple times, you realize that your mind was drawing a gun, but the beast had other plans. So due to your messy successy, you have torn this man apart. You've leapt over the counter. You're the beast within, essentially. Carrying out the will of shooting a man in the head with its own kind of means. So as you kind of come to out of this fog of what you've been imagining, you just see an employee of the month wall, just of small portraits behind the counter, splattered with blood, and it's his name. It's like Andrew Packhurst every single time.
Employee of the month wall.
He does. Look, it's a lonely job. And as you kind of see the blood splattered over that, you look down at Andrew Parkhurst and realize that you have like filleted and gutted him, essentially. He is very dead. Good news is you just got yourself a shotgun. Unfortunately, there's not a whole lot to bring back to eat. You can maybe bring back a limb, but won't be the good fresh stuff.
I'll go over to the, you know, the like the kitchen... essentials kind of section of this little convenience store. Grab a little box of those like garbage bags. Just rip a garbage bag out, and I'll actually pick up as many chunks as I can. Just stoop down, kind of groaning like dad doing a chore style. Just like, yeah, all right. And it's like scooping bits of jerk into a bag.
Meanwhile, Ridley. one of your burner phones has received some emoticons. You see a picture of a car and a picture of a fox and an address.
I'll call the number back because that's really all he does. I know I had one. Oh yeah, because I would have had a central burner, which would be the one Chonky could reach me on. So this does make sense.
So you pick up the phone and you hear you dial the number and you hear well, hi, you've reached Rupert St. John Smythe. How can I help you?
You texted me.
Oh, hey, boss, it's me, Chonky.
Oh, that's a good fucking cover name and voice. All right, what's up, Chonks?
Oh, good, good. I'm glad you're all right, boss. Listen, so it took us a little time to shake the... And we'll argue, like, I'm cutting away to this now. This probably happened over a span of days, and the same way Tyler's things happened over a span of days, and then we'll resync when he comes back with the blood bag. It was like, so after a few of us got dinged by the cops pretty good, so we had to lay low for a bit, but we've come up with a pretty good cover. Listen, you let us know where you need us. We're still a little bit thrown to the wind and getting our shit together, but we've got at least two Lexuses worth of guys. We gotta warn you, boss, we look a little bit different. We figured people be looking out for a big bunch of burly biker dudes. So we embraced the other image we thought we could get away with. As you know, a lot of the boys have pretty epic facial hair, and we've all got dad bod physiques to die for. So we're going by the Silver Foxes now. We're dressed like a bunch of upper middle class assholes, and just driving around in nice cars. But we're ready to get back to work, boss, whenever you need us.
All right, well, I'm glad to hear you're okay. So I like the rebranding. I think is fucking clever. Up next, spoiler alert, we're going to fuck up the orphans. That's our old goal. I'm going to do research now. We'll probably take off a few weeks because I've been burnt to shit and got to get put back together. But, I mean, I've got Everett bringing me people. Everett's the self-controlled one, able to get a job done. Bring me a couple of living victims. Get me up and running and we'll be fucking fine.
Yeah, all right. Well, you let me know if you need our help picking people up. We're capable of doing that again. Somewhat limited numbers, but we can definitely help out. I've also cut a few people loose.
Yeah, we might be in touch.
Yeah, sorry, I lost you there. The phone line was breaking up. Definitely not our internet connection in the game. Yeah, boss, I had to cut a couple of the boys loose after the fiasco with TJ Malone's. Didn't want any more leaks, so you should find the remainder are the smartest and meanest of the bunch. And listen, we take out the orphans. I got a plan for you, boss, for afterwards, but I guess it doesn't matter until we actually take him out.
Nice. I like fucking plans. That's good. Oh, could I send you to pick up some fucking gloves? Ridley realized he doesn't have his vampire killing gloves.
Oh,
from his fake movie prop.
Yeah, boss, absolutely. Hang on, I'll get one of the cars. Whereabouts are they?
He'll give him.
Sure.
Yeah, he'd know addresses. He'd know that because that shit gets said out loud. So yeah, he'd send them to Iris's neighbors.
Sure, great. So Rupert St. John Smythe, a.k.a. Chonky, agrees and is sending a couple of the boys over.
Cool. And obviously if the boys need a hideout or like Chonky needs a place to fucking hide because he's a vampire, they can come here. Like Ridley's not going to lie about where he is. Like they'll know. Like I am at this hospital in this.
He lets you know that they've, for now, given that their numbers are somewhat reduced, they've rented a townhouse. The boys have made like decent money over time. Like they're part of the gang because they like being in a gang, not because they need the cash. So one of them legitimately rented a townhouse and they're all staying there for now. Keeping up the Silver Fox motif.
That's fucking great. Fucking great. Chonks, I'm fucking proud of you. We're going to get you a fucking raise. Like, next time you get a bigger share of the old pirate ship, I'm telling you.
Oh, that's great, boss. Thanks. Listen, I'd also appreciate some, like a rundown about the whole vampire thing. I'm making do because I've kind of seen what you guys have done for a while, but wouldn't mind a chat at some point.
Yeah, you know, I swing by the hospital and I'll walk you through what I fucking know. I think that's more than fair, and yeah. I'll do a better job than whoever taught me, because it was like 2 hours on a plane.
All right, yeah, that sounds bad. All right, listen, let me get those gloves for you and I'll swing by.
Thank you, friend. We'll talk soon.
All right, yep. Ta-ta for now. And then he hangs up.
Oh, yeah, that's fucking good. He's fucking good, isn't he? He just says to the vampire tied up in the corner. And then he looks at him and goes, I'm going to call you leftovers.
Mm-hmm. Everett, you return with the sack of the sack of store clerk.
So what the fuck happened to you?
In front of you. And I'll we're in a hot like a school, but it's like a hospital school.
It's right? Like the morgue part of us.
Yeah. Like if you think about it this way, there's sort of the training hospital piece that obviously has function as a hospital as well. But yeah, the morgue downstairs gets a lot less traffic than, you know, a city morgue would, because it's mostly cadavers for teaching, not for just general right. examination. So the foot traffic is light enough that you could easily slip in. The whole point of picking the university, if you'll recall, is that there's enough foot traffic constantly right. that it's a lot easier to just kind of get away with this shit.
I'm going to grab those like long pincers off of one of the tables in one of their like metal dishes. And I'm basically going to drop the sack of shit in front of you, because you're hanging out in the lounge, right?
Yeah, I think he'd be like laying across an uncomfortable couch.
Those uncomfortable couches.
Yeah.
I'll drop that in front of you, and I will basically walk to the other end of the lounge and open the door to like the staff like washroom. And I'll turn around to face you through the doorway to like talk to you, but I'm also looking over my shoulder in the mirror and like picking buckshot out of my like shoulder behind me. Okay. And I'll say, I was shot.
Well, how did you get shot?
I turned my back on a store clerk.
Well, what the fuck's in the bag?
The store clerk.
I'm not going to fucking eat it. You realize we can only drink from people who are alive, right? Like, they have to be fucking alive. This is just a bag of shit.
All right. Give me about 20 minutes here and I'll make another stop.
Well, did you... You normally lecture me about how stupid my fucking team is. Did you clean up the mess? Did you burn the place down?
I honestly don't even remember how I got here.
Okay, do you know where the store was?
Yeah, I could get back there.
Okay, just a second. This goes right back to the phone. He's like, Chunky, you know that whole thing about you guys laying low? I got a job. Talk to Everett, go to this and make it fucking go away.
Says, sure thing, boss. I'll get someone to buy the real estate. We'll flip the building. We'll call in a crime, see if we can get the cops to clean it up. And then, I don't know, we'll turn it into a froyo shop or something innocuous. Maybe an A&W.
That sounds great. If there's any body parts or anything you need to make disappear, use our construction contacts so we can just bake it into the fucking foundation somewhere.
Yeah, sure thing, boss. We'll get right on that for you.
Okay, cool. Also, I've got half a body in a fucking bag at the hospital, so I'll give that to you when you drop off the gloves.
Yeah, sure, boss. There should be an incinerator on site, though, shouldn't there?
Oh, yeah. We'll just fucking do that. I've never had an hospital before. You know what? This is more about me than it is about you. Thanks, Chunky. We'll talk soon. And he hangs up and he's like, gotta hit a fucking incinerator. Okay. Yeah, you can incinerate this, Everett, and then you can go get the... But also, you might need more blood for you, because I'm thinking you're starting to approach as fucked up as I am.
I'll just put another... I'll take, like, a doctor's coat and, like, put it over. And I'm like, that'll do for now.
Great. So, Dr. Everett, you strike out into the night. Who is your secondary target?
Of the people that I scouted first?
You've got the burglar, the firefighter, the office drone, and the drug dealer.
The office drone won't have a shotgun, so I'll go to them.
All right. So this being now kind of like late into the evening, you find them at a fancy bar that is still open despite the chaos that's befallen Montreal. And much like, if you remember, like, the Boston Marathon bombing or any of those sorts of events, like, there's all those, like, signs up around, like, Montreal Strong, and, like, they've already got the ribbon campaigns going, because it's been a few days, and the city's rallying. Also, like, Montreal is definitely a city with an attitude and a spirit. Like, it's, you know, some cities are just kind of there. Montreal definitely has a vibe to it. So Montreal is, like, pulling real hard to kind of recover, and you get the sense that, you know, there's, like, signs up being, like, you know, $1 from every cocktail goes to... rebuilding Montreal and to the relief fund. I think you're immediately struck by the fact that this is a bunch of rich assholes who could just be spending their money on the relief fund rather than drinking cocktails and being like, I'm doing a good thing by being here. But, you know, it's not your bar. Mm-hmm. You arrive, and it's you find that it's a it's like a weird it's like one of those upscale genre bars. I don't know if you've ever encountered one of these. There was one in Toronto for a bit that was like a Harry Potter themed bar, but it was also like an incredibly expensive hipster bar. Like, it didn't feel like, oh cool, like I'm in Harry Potter. It was like, oh man, I'm gonna pay a lot of money for like Accio cocktail. So it's that kind of vibes. You walk in, okay, and it is a fantasy themed, it was clearly trying to cash in on Game of Thrones, so it's like a fantasy themed bar, but if someone who kind of hates fantasy made it. There's two bartenders working as you kind of like make your way in, you see your mark sitting at the bar, kind of talking up a couple of ladies who are clearly just kind of trying to enjoy their night, and he's just like, Dungeon Dragon, my dudes, get these ladies more drinks. Hey, ladies, they're on me. They're on me. You made a bunch of money recently. You know, it's pretty good. It's pretty good. Hey, boys, one for me too, huh? One for me.
Sorry, he's at the bar?
Yes, he's at the bar. These two ladies are sitting next to him. There's also a really like gaudy bright jacket hanging, like a suit jacket hanging off a hook at the stool next to him at the bar, and a drink. So clearly he's there with someone. They're just in the bathroom or something.
Okay, I'll pull up to the bar, and I'll say, you know, I'll have a beer, and I'll buy a drink for this gentleman over here. Looks like he's celebrating something.
He turns and sort of flashes you a broad grin. I think you can think of this guy as he's going to be, say, like a slightly older Michael Cera. So just still has very much like a baby face. He's got like little thin glasses. He just kind of smiles and says, oh, well, thanks, buddy. That's great. Hey, you know, if you're in the drink buying mood, my pal's coming back in a minute. You mind grabbing him one too?
Sure. Where's your friend?
Where? Oh, he's just hit the can. There he is now. And you turn, and you see kind of like a stocky older guy. He's bald. He's got a little white beard. The office drone is like smiling at you expectantly. He's like, ah.
Yeah, I already agreed. So yeah, I'm fine to get.
Well, I also I think he's looking to you as though you're going to be like really impressed with who he's here with. But you don't recognize the guy.
His stocky friend. Yeah, no.
You don't watch hockey. But a moment later, Don Cherry pulls up a stool and says, "Oh, hey there, this guy's buying drinks. That's pretty good. That's a good good thing that's going on here. Yep, that's good. All right. I'll have one and." You got one for my buddy Marcus here. He's my nephew.
Okay. Marcus is the one.
I was going to say, I know Everett's rules, but fucking eat him. Just fucking eat him right now in the bar.
Vampires are real. And I'll just
listen, I don't know about the... Don, sir, we're out of time, Don. Don, vampires are real.
I couldn't drink, Don, with those...
the jowls?
No, with the way he wears those shirts up to his chin.
Yeah,
with the
he collar. Knows vampires are real.
I couldn't get in there.
Yeah, yeah.
But I want to make sure that I'm clear on this. The office worker that I identified earlier
mm-hmm.
as my target is his nephew here, right?
That's correct.
And I don't know Don Cherry from Adam, so that's you don't, just some eccentric old man in a weird jacket.
Yeah, I think, Everett, you've been around enough. Like, I also think even this was probably true when you were down south as well. Like, you just don't watch a lot of stuff. Like, you're not that guy. So you, I think, are well acquainted with this is probably someone I should know and probably know enough to roll with it. But also, you don't know. You can just kind of guess at, like, oh, celebrity of some sort. And yet they're both at the bar. That said, if you did need more information on Don Cherry, you could text Dederick, because he would definitely be the one to like give you the rundown on who goes to what bars.
Okay. So if he's looking to me like, I guess I'll pick up on him like, oh, wow, look who it is.
And he says, oh, no, please, you know, I'm just a regular guy like you, and you already bought a beer, so that's you're all right in my books. Take a seat, join us at the bar. We're celebrating Marcus here, made a bunch of money, today, and he's a good local boy. Local Canadian boy, and he made good.
And he, like, slaps Marcus on the back. And Marcus, like, bounces off the bar. Like, he's a skinny little guy. But he kind of sits up and gives the thumbs up. Like, he's real proud of himself. Yep, he is clearly an idiot.
Great. I'll say, wow, I am just starstruck. You know, if I can be honest here, would you mind if I took a picture of us together?
Oh, yeah, always happy to help out a fan.
And he just kind of, like, shoves Marcus out of the way, and he says, all right, I'll give you a thumbs up. Go Bruins.
That's great. And I'll take a selfie with him, and I'll text it to Dedrick and be like, who is this, and can Ridley eat him?
You know, you engage in awkward small talk, mostly Marcus, like, ranting about how good he is, and Don kind of ranting about the stuff Don rants about. It's kind of an incoherent circle of just, like, vaguely xenophobic comments and then just, like, weird hockey anecdotes. You care for neither. Dedrick messages you back kind of, like, a bunch of, like, surprised and excited emojis.
Hey, Everett, it's obviously in text, but you can hear it in his voice. It's so great to hear from you. He's pretty high profile, both hated and loved. So I'm sure Ridley could, but it's probably going to draw a bunch of attention. And if I understand correctly from everything, you guys said at Elysium, you're trying to lay low. So maybe don't kill a major scandal ridden Canadian celebrity? ? Or do. I don't know. Also, is that bar terrible? I heard it's terrible. Let me know. And then he has XOXO, and he sends another one being like, sorry about the XOXO. I don't know. I'm sorry. It just felt natural. We're not there yet. I'm sorry. Okay, bye.
I'll text back. We're vampires. All bars are terrible. Is his nephew important?
And he just types back, he has a nephew?
Great. Are we still riding on my messy success, or?
No, your messy success was handled by your murder.
Okay.
Because as written, the messy success, which of course is how it's also labeled in the book, is generally meant to just be like a bigger, more bombastic version of the action you're trying to do. So in trying to shoot him, the beast just took over and ripped him up rather than letting you shoot him. But that was it. That solved for messy success.
Okay. So then I will spend the night at this bar paying for their drinks, getting them good and wasted.
Yep.
Until they are fall down drunk. And then I will offer to, help. You said his name. I don't remember his name. Marcus. I will offer to help Marcus
Alexander.
I'll offer to help Marcus catch a cab.
That's great. Yeah, by this point, Don has taken photos with a bunch of other people and is just, like, generally ignoring what you guys are doing. So he just goes, that's
great. You take him back. He's my fifth favorite nephew. Okay, all right, great.
And then he trips over a bar stool and smashes his head off a table. He's fine, but it hurts like a bitch.
Right, he falls down and farts. Got it.
Yeah, exactly. He has a fart attack. His pants fall down. It turns out his underwear, equally ridiculous to the suits.
Bow tie.
Yeah, just as you leave, you hear him muttering into himself. He's like, Ron, hey, I know we don't work together anymore. Can you come pick me up? You always take care of me, Ron. Ron?
Oh, I must have lost signal. I'm so desperately alone.
And then you leave the bar, and Marcus is like, this is really nice of you, man. You're really nice. So listen, like, do you need like insider stock tips or something? Why are you helping me, bud?
The cab we get into is, a Dinkeldorf cab. And I just like to like a line to like close out the scene before we like arrive at the morgue is just,
you think I'm nice now? Your uncle's sixth favorite cousin is about to get some fantastic news.
This episode of Blood and Syrup features the voices of Ryan LaPlante at The Ryan LaPlante on Twitter, Tyler Hewitt at Tyler_Hewitt on Twitter, Megan Miles at Maggie Miles on Twitter, and storyteller Tom McGee at McGeeTD on Twitter. This episode's sound was edited and mixed by Laura Hamstra, and all of Dum Dums and Dice's logos are by Decapitated Markers at Decapitated Marker on Twitter, that's MRKR. Our theme songs are What's Really Going On Right Now by Chase Allen Willis and Traffic by Kyle Angle, and all our ads use the tracks No Control and Chiefs by Jazzar, that's J-A-H-Z-Z-A-R. All of their music is available on freemusicarchive.org. When it comes to Dum Dums and Dice, you can visit our website at dumdumdice.com. Our Twitter and Instagram are at dumdumdice, and on Facebook at facebook.com/dumdumdice. We've also got merchandise at redbubble.com/people/dumdumdice. And most importantly, you can join our Patreon of Darkness at patreon.com/dumdumdice. That's DUMBDUMBDICE. Sleep well, children of the night.
Spooky. Dum Dums and Dice has to give a special thank you to the supreme beings of our Patreon at this time. Christian Menicola, Long Long, the Half-Blind Prophet, James Cuellar, Charles Grams, Christopher Little, Sue One, George Dolby, One True Artistry, Orion Birchfield, Lord of Bradovic, Noel Lewis, Scott Garland, Anthony Griffin, Jordan Neesmith, Benjamin V, Gavin and Abby McDonald, Taryn Hefner, Cade Peters, Richard Cranium, Christian Mendez, Anna Zed, and Jill and Noel LaPlante. If you want your name to be added to this list, you can join our Patreon too at patreon.com/dumdumdice. Thanks to them, and a little bit of thanks to you.
The Fable and Folly Network, where fiction producers flourish.